For two long, hard months, Aaron Lake and Governor Terry had gone head-to-head, toe-to-toe, coast-to-coast, with 18-hour days, brutal schedules, relentless travel, the typical madness of a presidential race. Yet they had worked just as hard to avoid a face-to-face debate. Terry didn't want one in the early primaries because he was the front-runner. Why legitimize the opposition? Lake didn't want one because he was a novice at high-stakes campaigning and because it was much easier to hide behind a script and a friendly camera and make ads whenever needed. But campaigns change. Terry decided he needed a debate because he was broke and losing one primary after another. "Aaron Lake is trying to buy this election," he said over and over, "and I want to confront him man to man." It sounded good, and the press had beaten it to death. "He's running from a debate," Terry declared, and the pack liked that, too. "The governor's been dodging a debate since Michigan," was Lake's standard response. And so for 3 weeks they played the "he's running from me" game, until their people quietly worked out the details. The setting of the debate was in Pennsylvania, at a small Lutheran college, with a cozy auditorium, good acoustics and light, a controllable crowd. The moderator was a local public radio figure, and when he said, "Good evening and welcome to the first and only debate between Governor Wendell Terry and Congressman Aaron Lake," an estimated 18 million people were watching. Conventional wisdom held that Terry had more to lose because he had already lost so much. Early in January, he had been declared, by prophets as prescient as Time magazine, to have the nomination within his grasp. Then came Lake with his slick ads and single-issue magic. Terry badly needed either a stunning performance by himself or a major gaffe by Lake. He got neither. By a flip of the coin, he was chosen to go first. He stumbled badly in his opening remarks as he moved stiffly around the stage, trying desperately to look at ease but forgetting what his notes said. As he forgot one point after another, he returned to his common theme. "Mr. Lake here is trying to buy this election because he has nothing to say." A nasty tone developed quickly. Lake smiled handsomely, water off a duck's back. Terry's weak beginning emboldened Lake, gave him a shot of confidence, and convinced him to stay behind the podium where it was safe and where his notes were. He began by saying that he wasn't there to throw mud, that he had respect for Governor Terry, but they had just listened to him speak for 5 minutes and 11 seconds, and he had said nothing positive. He then ignored his opponent and briefly covered 3 issues that needed to be discussed: tax relief, welfare reform, and the trade deficit. Not a word about defense. The first question from the panel of reporters was directed at Lake, and it dealt with the budget surplus. What should be done with the money? It was a soft pitch, lobbed by a friendly reporter, and Lake was all over it. "Save Social Security," he answered. Then, in an impressive display of financial straight talk, he outlined precisely how the money should be used. He used figures and percentages and projections, all from memory. Governor Terry's response was simply to cut taxes, give the money back to the people who'd earned it. Few points were scored during the questioning. Both candidates were well prepared. The surprise was that Lake, the man who wanted to own the Pentagon, was so well versed in all other issues. The instant polls gave a solid win to Lake. Deepak called 1,000 voters immediately after the debate. Almost 70% thought Lake was the better of the two.